Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Our heart is the most important thing we possess as believers. It really is going to determine everything for us. The heart is where your perceptions and your experiences come from. Your perceptions and your experiences are not based in your situations. They're not circumstantial. People think, well, the circumstance determines my experience. No, your heart determines your experience. The circumstance is simply something that's happening around you, but it actually doesn't determine anything regarding perception or experience. The heart determines all of this. Keep your heart, guard it, protect it with all diligence. Diligence is the word mishmar, and it describes a group of guards or watchmen or armed men that are established for some purpose. And it has the sense of safety and security. Be like an armed guard over your heart. Your heart speaks of your frame of reference. There's a lot of definitions you'll find in different dictionaries and commentaries for the heart. And some of them are better than others. Some of them are oversimplified. But really, if you put them all together, it really is just talking about your frame of reference. Now, your frame of reference is very powerful. That will determine everything about you. So you protect it, you guard it. You don't allow things into your frame of reference that don't belong there. Now, we have to be extremely careful with this. Dr. Carson, Ben Carson, a world-famous brain surgeon, said, if you stimulate the right part of the brain, you can remember absolutely everything you have ever heard, word for word. You can remember everything you have ever seen, exactly. There's nothing that does not get stored in your mind, in your brain. This will make up a large part of your frame of reference that you're not even aware of because you have no control over it. So we have to guard that. We have to be careful what we listen to. We have to be careful what we hear. We have to be careful what we look at. We have to be careful. Even in conversations, you want to be careful. Sometimes people are not careful because it involves friends or they're afraid that somehow they're going to look weird. Let's say that somebody has something negative to say about another person. You don't accept that. Now, most people will because, quite frankly, they don't have the backbone in order to stand up to that. But you don't accept it. You don't just listen to somebody rail against a person, especially if it's another Christian. James 4:11 says not to speak evil one of another. Because if we speak evil one of another, we speak evil of the Word of God. So we don't do that. We don't accept it. We don't hear it. We guard our heart. Why is it so important that I not do that? Because if I do that, I won't be able to help it. Even if I know it to be false, I'll believe it. Because the unconscious mind where everything is stored will accept everything equally. It doesn't discern between factual, not factual, truth, lie. It doesn't discern between any of that. It receives everything with equal weight as though it is factual. Even though the conscious mind may say, that's not correct. So we don't receive it, we don't listen to it, we don't engage it, we don't tolerate it, we get away from it, And sometimes if the person insists, we rebuke them. Because we have to guard, keep, protect, take care of our frame of reference. If I receive the wrong things about somebody, then I will stand in judgment of them and I won't even be able to help myself. But yet, in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, I'll receive the judgment that I have chosen to give them. So, in order to protect ourselves, not just for our thinking, but also for our whole experience here and in time, we have to guard our heart. Keep it with all diligence. Watch out for your frame of reference. Don't mess with your frame of reference. Don't get casual or careless with your frame of reference. It is the most important thing that you possess because it will determine your perceptions and it will determine your experiences. In Proverbs 23:7, as a person thinks in their heart, that's who they are. People may pretend, but really the contents in the frame of reference determines who I am. I can even pretend to myself, but the contents of my frame of reference determines who I am. It's not whether I'm sincere or insincere. It's about what is your perception, what is your thought life like? This is who you really are. In Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're all going to stand at the Bema Seat of Christ. The Bema Seat is the place of rewards for believers. It's also called the Judgment Seat of Christ. We don't use the word judgment because the connotation that it brings to mind is not correct. It's not like what we think of as judgment. It's not judgment for salvation or lack of salvation. It's not judgment for good or wrong or anything like that. And it's not a justice system type of judgment. It's simply evaluation of rewards. Now, my frame of reference will determine what kind of rewards I get. The reason is because of the work of the blood. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Revelation 1:5 tells us that the blood of Christ cleanses us of all sin, cleanses us from anything that's not of faith. Psalm 103:12 tells us that it removes those things from space-time, from time. What do I get when I get to the Bema Seat? What are my rewards? The things that remain. What the blood does not eliminate becomes a reward. My frame of reference will determine my capacity and the extent to which I live in faith. So, faith is what determines my rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that it's either gold, silver, or precious stones as far as our rewards go. Gold speaks of faith and application of faith, faith responses. Silver speaks of redemption, forgiveness, mercy, those kinds of things. And by the way, it's not one quality of reward versus another quality of reward. That's not how it works. What it's talking about is two different types of rewards. And then there's the precious stones. The precious stones are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All of those things are based in my frame of reference. If I hear the Word of God, that's going to build my frame of reference, but it has to be with humility so that I mix faith with what I hear. Thereby, my frame of reference is developed by the Word rather than the Word being regulated by my frame of reference. That happens to some people. Sometimes a person receives the Word of God not in humility, but in a self-oriented frame of reference. And everything about it becomes about them, not through making them grow, but through some kind of comparison. Let me give you an example. The Word of God will say something like, "Love one another as I have loved you," in John 13:34. And people will listen to this, and instead of being instructed, instead of being developed, instead of having their faith built in this area, they'll say, "Yeah, people should love me like God loves me." You see, that is a self-oriented frame of reference, which is then used to regulate the Word of God coming in, rather than letting the Word of God produce the frame of reference. That's why humility is required. God will reward us on the basis of our frame of reference, because the frame of reference becomes the basis of our responses. It's the basis of our faith. It's the basis of the way that we relate to God, the way that we relate to each other. Everyone is born with a natural frame of reference. This is not a good thing. We want to grow into a new frame of reference. Sometimes people don't think about that. Sometimes they say, "Well, I'm born again, and that's wonderful." And yes, it is. It is absolutely wonderful. But they never start to deal with their frame of reference, because they never really delve into the Word of God, recognizing what that means. Sometimes people think that the Word of God is about information. While the Word of God does provide information, that's not its main purpose. The main purpose of the Word of God is love. It's relationship. It's not information. But if I live in a natural frame of reference as a believer, then I'll start to think that the Word of God doesn't always work for me. I'll start to think, "Yeah, okay, those are the promises of God, and I'm supposed to believe it, but quite frankly, I'm not so sure, if I'm honest about it, that the promises work. I'm not sure that God really is true to His promises." And the reason why they're thinking that is the wrong frame of reference. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. The most deceitful thing there is a natural frame of reference. There's nothing that is as good at deceiving people as a natural frame of reference. People end up lying to themselves, lying to other people, thinking that they are right on the money, because their frame of reference is in self-orientation, and that self-orientation skews their perceptions. They get the wrong perception. They have the wrong understanding. With the wrong perception, I can't see anything correctly. They can't see themselves correctly. They can't know themselves correctly. They can't know God correctly. They can't know other people correctly, because their frame of reference is skewed, because it is deceitful if it is a natural frame of reference. It'll trick them. It'll lie to them. It gives them the wrong information. And it's desperately wicked. Notice that nobody, for example, ever gossips in a positive way. People say, "Did you hear about whoever? Did you hear about Sally? Did you hear about Bill?" "Well, I tell you what I heard, and this is what I heard, and I don't know that he should have done it. Oh, and you know what? I heard this other thing too," and it's always negative. Nobody ever says, "Did you hear about Bill? Bill is so kind. Bill is such a wonderful person. You know what Bill did? Bill went out of his way and did these things for these people, and they didn't even know it. They couldn't even thank him. He didn't think I knew it, but I knew it. And Bill was just remarkable to them. Nobody says that. Why? It's wicked. The natural frame of reference is wicked. The frame of reference will always tend to the negative. Why? Because it's natural and Satan deals with the natural. He targets the natural part of us. He cannot target the spiritual part of us. And he's a very good marksman. He knows how to find his mark, and he knows how to hit it. In Ezekiel 28, in verse 17, Satan's heart, when he was Lucifer, was lifted up because of his beauty. Satan used something natural about himself to then become self-oriented, to change his frame of reference. People will do this also. At times people will say, well, this is what I'm like, or this is what things are like for me. And they will change their frame of reference based on some natural thing, whether it's beauty or, for that matter, lack of beauty, whether it's a circumstance, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is. This is one of the reasons why you don't want Christians marrying non-Christians. You have two opposing frames of reference. And something will come in and it will skew the frame of reference. Well, if it skews the frame of reference, it really has bad results. When Lucifer's frame of reference turned to himself, that's where he started to attack God. That's where he started a rebellion against God. 1/3 of heaven is going to hell because of this one angel's messed up frame of reference. That's a serious thought if you think about it. Scholars believe, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what scholars believe, and I tend to respect these particular scholars, that there's about 250 million demons. It's 1/3 of heaven. That means there were 750 million angels prior to the fall of the angels. 1/3 of those angels, perfect angels, who saw God face to face, who knew God personally, face to face, are gonna end up in hell because one angel became self-oriented. Don't underestimate the importance of a frame of reference. You see the same thing now. The other day I saw a documentary about certain individuals, both current and past, who were ruthless people. Every single case with these people is they are extraordinarily self-centered. They're extraordinarily selfish. They're powerful. They're cunning. But they're extraordinarily self-oriented in their frame of reference. In both cases with these two individuals, many people have died because of them. And it's simply self-orientation. Christ had a God-oriented frame of reference. What did that result in? Salvation. Paul had a God-oriented frame of reference. What did that result in? 2/3 of the New Testament. David had a God-oriented frame of reference, even though sometimes he failed. He had a God-oriented frame of reference. At that time, Israel was the greatest nation on earth, perhaps in history. Moses had a God-oriented frame of reference, took 40 years to develop it. And he managed to take Israel out of captivity and initiate a dispensation. Abraham had a God-oriented frame of reference and nations were born. Don't underestimate the value and the importance of a frame of reference. Today we have the same thing. You can see it everywhere. You can see it in relationships. You can see it in politics. You can see it in social issues. Everything. Self-oriented frames of reference are destructive. You never want to go into a self-oriented frame of reference. You will damage yourself. You'll damage the people around you. You'll damage your circumstances. Self-oriented frames of reference are extremely destructive. In Obadiah 1:3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Elevating your thinking in your frame of reference above the Word of God will deceive you. In Hosea 10:2, their heart is divided, now they shall be guilty. That single-eyed frame of reference is what keeps us pure. Not allowing a natural frame of reference protects my faith. I stay right with God when I have a right heart before God. That frame of reference is everything as far as your relationship to God. Understand something. God is not a theological concept. Sometimes we can treat Him like He is, but He's not. God, although He is not a man, He is a real person. Someday, if you're born again, you will meet Him. You will see Him face to face, because He's a real individual. Extraordinary in every way, yes, but very real. Tangible. You'll be able to touch Him. Even on earth, now, people have seen Him. Some people through near-death experiences, some people God allowed them to see Him in a vision. I know of one lady, she was Iranian and she was a Muslim. She had been praying for years that God would reveal Himself to her. In the middle of the night, she said this tremendous light lit up her room. Was completely dark and this tremendous light lit up her room. And when she looked, she saw Christ. She was not expecting to see Christ, but she saw Christ. He is a real person. So when you're having a relationship with God, it's a relationship with a real individual. It's not ethereal, it's not pie in the sky, it's not theological, it's not philosophical. It's a person. We don't have a relationship with a concept. We have a relationship with an individual. That frame of reference is what protects and establishes that relationship. In Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. We have to guard what the treasure is in our heart, because the treasure determines the frame of reference. Let me explain what I mean. If I see the Word of God as being the most important thing there is, that has the greatest value in my life, that will be my treasure and it will determine my frame of reference. If I see something else as being the most important thing in my life, then that thing will become the treasure determining my frame of reference. Anything outside of God cannot produce a good frame of reference. But even things that are evil can produce a frame of reference. I can have a frame of reference that really thinks the money is the end all. A materialistic frame of reference, and all of a sudden, all of my thinking, all of my decisions, all of my relationships, the bottom line will be how to get more money. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting money, but it cannot be your frame of reference. If God blesses you with a situation where you're able to get it, you need to maintain that frame of reference. It's not about the money. If God blesses you with relationships, those relationships must never become your frame of reference. The Word of God is given to you by the Holy Spirit, and as He guides you in that Word, that has to be your frame of reference. Anything else, and it'll be deceitful. Anything else, and it'll be destructive. In Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. That means proud. Before destruction, the frame of reference is proud. What is pride? Pride is when I think that I can determine that something is more valuable than God and His Word. If I put something, my opinion, my intellect, whatever it is, above the Word of God, that is pride. That's what Lucifer did in Ezekiel 28. He saw his beauty, and suddenly he, his opinions, his evaluation, his understanding, that became more reliable than what God said and than who God was. That's pride. In our lives, if I think that my natural understanding is more reliable than the Word of God, that's pride. If I think that my emotions are more reliable and are more of a guide than the Word of God, that's pride. Before destruction, the frame of reference gets proud. Why? Why would that lead to destruction? Because it's deceitful. Whatever it does is incorrect. Whatever it does, it doesn't build, it tears down. The frame of reference has to be right with God in order for it to work. So how do I get a right frame of reference? In Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. My son, give me your heart. By the way, my daughter, give me your heart. God wants my frame of reference. And the way that I get that frame of reference to God is by letting my perception observe His ways. How does that happen? What does it mean that my perception will observe His ways? In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I have two choices. I may think that I have more choices, but in truth, I have only two choices. No matter what the details are, it comes down to two choices. It's between the two kingdoms. There's only the two kingdoms. There's nothing more. So my two choices are always going to be trusting in the Lord and not leaning on my own understanding, or trusting in my own understanding, which comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Ezekiel 31:18 tells us that's Satan's tree, and then not leaning on the Lord. You have only those two options. No matter where your focus goes, no matter where your frame of reference is sourced, if it's not in trusting in God, then it's necessarily going to be trusting in yourself. And you're going to do it through the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're going to do it by looking at things by sight. You're going to do it by natural thinking. You're going to do it by natural evaluation. It's deceitful. But those are the only two choices. In the Garden of Eden, Satan introduced a new frame of reference. When he said to Eve, "Your eyes will be opened," he's talking about perceptions through a frame of reference. When Eve, in verse 6, had her eyes opened, it was from her frame of reference. And her frame of reference deceived her. It said to her, "The tree is a good-looking tree, it's pleasant to the eyes, it's good for food." She had never tasted it before. How did she know it was good for food? What did pleasant to the eyes have to do with good for food? There are some very attractive plants that are quite poisonous. What did pleasant to the eyes have to do with good for food? Her frame of reference deceived her. And now she thought that that which was deadly was actually something good to eat. When she changed her frame of reference. Satan's always after a person's frame of reference, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your frame of reference. And don't lean on your own understanding to produce a frame of reference. In Hebrews 13:9, it's good that the heart be established by grace. My frame of reference is built by grace. Now, that is a three-dimensional grace. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, how does unmerited favor build my frame of reference? Well, it's only one of three dimensions. The other two dimensions are the kindness of God in Ephesians 2:7 and the throne of God in Hebrews 4:16, the throne of grace. And so the unmerited favor of God works together with the throne of grace, which works together with the kindness of God to produce the fullness of grace. And when I have these things, when I have the unmerited favor, so there never is condemnation, so there never is criticism or negativity from God. When I have the throne of God, so that I always have clarity, so that I always have a lamp unto my feet, so that I always know through the mind of God, through the initiation of the Holy Spirit, the truth and where to go with the truth, so that I always have the kindness of God, the practical expression of the love of God, to quicken my faith, but also to quicken my relationship to God, then I will have an established foundation for a frame of reference. That's the foundation. It's not the frame of reference in and of itself. That's what the frame of reference is built upon. It's always the fullness of grace. In Proverbs 3:3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart." Mercy, which is really the patience of God, it's connected to the unmerited favor aspect of grace. Mercy will always bring you into truth. The truth is that Christ is kind. The truth is that Christ is on the throne. The truth is that He'll draw you into His Word with loving kindness. The truth is, in John 1:14, that He is the Word of God. I bind this on my neck. That means my volition always becomes regulated by mercy and truth. And it takes place because of what is written on my heart, in my frame of reference. In 1 Timothy 1:5, the purpose of the commandment is love. The purpose of the commandment, the purpose of the principles and the precepts of God, the purpose of the Word of God, the purpose of all that God did is love. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and a sincere faith. My conscience is good because of the blood. My faith is sincere because of love. The purpose of the commandment is to give me this good conscience, this good frame of reference, this pure heart. In Mark 12:30, when the heart is pure, then you'll automatically enter into the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your frame of reference, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is the same. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the purpose of what God said is to bring me to this point of love. Why? How do I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my frame of reference? Well, in Romans 5:8, we've already been made to be one person with the love of God. This happened while we were yet sinners. It didn't require perfection. The Word of God is not there just to clean up my life. That's the side effect. But that's not the purpose. With the Word of God, yes, my life will get cleaned up. But that's not the primary goal. The primary goal is to bring me into a love relationship with God. What my frame of reference needs is a love relationship with God in order to be a right heart. Without that love relationship with God, nothing is in perspective. Nothing is in clear view. Nothing has the proper understanding in my life. Everything in the Word of God is founded in the love of God. The blood of Christ, the Lamb that was slain, the finished work, mercy, the forgiveness of God, everything. Everything is rooted in the love of God. Your existence is rooted in the love of God. Is this your frame of reference? It needs to be if it's not. Sometimes you say, well, yeah, I know God loves me. You may know it, but is that your frame of reference? If that's your frame of reference, then you won't have negativity. If that's your frame of reference, you won't have anxiety. If that's your frame of reference, you won't have depression. If that's your frame of reference, you won't have insecurity. If that's your frame of reference, you won't have doubt. If that's your frame of reference, you won't have misgivings. You won't have fear. You won't have frustration. If that's your frame of reference, there will be no criticism. Is it your frame of reference? It needs to be. Because without that, your frame of reference will deceive you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love in Galatians 5:22. How can anything else be my frame of reference and have it be a right heart? It always has to be about the love of God. That's the purpose. That's why Christ came. That's why His Word was given. That's why the promises are given. That's why the blood was shed. That's why the universe was created. The purpose is always the love of God. Sometimes people will say, well, we love God because He first loved us in 1 John 4:19. Therefore, I have to wait to receive the love of God before I can love people. False. If you're born again, in Romans 5:8, you already are one with the love of God. It's already who you are. Now you're in a process of becoming who you already are in your experience. But you are already one with the love of God. In 1 John 4:7, you get to know God by exercising the love of God, by applying the love of God. Why is it the great commandment? Because that's the purpose of God. He died on the cross in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 to make us one new man with Him. The whole purpose of the foundation of the universe in Revelation 13:8 was to make us one with the love of God. It's always been about love. Even your difficulties, even your problems, everything is about the love of God in Romans 8:28 to 29. Everything. So is that your frame of reference? It needs to be. If it's not your frame of reference, then Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I'm called by your name." I have the right frame of reference. I have the right heart when I start to receive His word. It's not a casual thing. It's not about instruction per se. It's not about information. Yes, we do need instruction, but that's not the final goal. That's not really what God is after. God is about you having His love as your heart. If His love is your heart, you have no problem receiving the love of God, even if nobody else loves you. You can go through hell on earth and experience the joy of the Lord if you have the right heart. You can be the only person standing with God, and your experience will be the same as though you're standing with an army if you have the love of God. You can have everything go wrong. You can have everybody forsake you. You can have circumstances that are devastating. And with the right heart, you'll say, that was incredible. Because your heart will determine your perceptions and your experiences. If your heart, if your frame of reference is the love of God, then all your perceptions and all of your experiences will stem from the love of God. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, "Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live."